one of my sisters-in-law pointed out that, hey, I know you're preaching today, Van. I'm like, oh, really? How does that? How do you know that? It's because you're dressed up. Well, you know. I was like, red-handed caught. Yep, it's true. I prefer the sweatpants with the hoodie. I like the college attire. That's kind of what I'm comfortable with. And so I don't dress up too much here because I'm always dressed up at work. So it's not a big deal for me to dress up. I mean, at Bible college, I wore a tie, and you'd have to, maybe if you go to Elam, you won't have to worry about that, you know. But I'm just saying, your brother doesn't have to worry about that. I mean, they get a nice, easy dress code now. We had to wear shirt and ties or a suit jacket or a sweater. Don't you remember that back there, brother? Yes, yes, you do. Oh, man, yep. So I understand about dressing up, but I'm like, you know what? I just want to be comfortable because it really doesn't matter what I look like. Let's face it. It doesn't matter if I were to preach in rags or if I were to preach in the nicest three-piece suit that's over $5,000 money market-wise. It doesn't really matter. What matters is God's word being communicated. It's God's word giving to you. And that's where it is. That's the heart of what I have. I want to see God use me to give you his words so it can give you freedom, give you liberty, and it can transform your life. That's what it's about. Sneakers, you know, it's a great thing to have, great thing to enjoy. Or dress shoes, whatever it is. And if you dress up to preach, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I know a lot of great preachers that dress up. I know some that preach that are dressed down. But it's all about what we're presenting. And what we're presenting is his word and his life that changes each and every one of us. Amen. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Be free. Enjoy that. One thing I want to do real quick is that while we were praying for pain earlier, I want to ask, was there anyone that was instantly healed? That they felt, oh, I don't have any more pain anymore. It's gone. Was there anyone that felt that when we were praying for that this morning? Some, so it was good. Karen? A noticeable difference? Amen. Well, let's give God a clap offering for that because he's doing good things. Amen? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Now, did anyone have any like pain in their like right hand, like right in through here? Did anyone have that type of pain? I was just wondering. Ed, you had that? Okay. Sure. You have the left? All right. Nancy? Okay. So if you have that pain right now, and it's, I don't know if it's like a tingling pain or a throbbing pain or a shooting pain. If you have that, I want you to put your hand up. Put that hand up. That's that. So put that hand up right there. So put it up. And church, we're going to lift our hands right now to these people. Because that's something that God highlighted that he wants to touch today even more. So Father, right now, we thank you for your immense healing power right now. We thank you, Father, if there's any type of damage done to nerves or any bone or any type of shooting pain or something from somewhere else. Father, we thank you right now for your healing touch right now on these hands, Father. We thank you that your blood takes away all pain and heals the sick, Father, right now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for you guys that had your hands up, do you feel a difference? Do you feel a noticeable difference? If you don't, that's okay. But do you feel a noticeable difference? Can you try to do something you weren't able to do that you had pain to do? Try to do something. Can you tell a difference at all? You weren't able to go back like that? So now you can go all the way back like that. Wow, come on, Jesus. That's good. Come on. Anyone else? That's okay. If you didn't get it yet, that's okay. Anyone else have something that they couldn't do before or still in pain or just like, wow, it's all gone? Anyone else? I want to make sure because we want to praise him for what he's doing. We want to make sure we give him glory for it because it's not something that Pastor Van does. I can't heal anybody. It's his power.
So he just loves his father-in-law when I come up and join him up here.
It's all right. It's okay.
But I felt like the Lord wanted to point out, maybe you're sitting here and you're like, well, wait a minute. My pain is in my foot. My pain is in my back. Why isn't the Lord calling that out? Like, aren't I as important as somebody who has it in the hand? Well, see, what he's doing when he focuses on the hand and somebody says, yeah, I couldn't move my hand before and now I can and the pain's gone. Well, then you accept that for your foot. You accept that for your back. But he's using the hand to increase your faith. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean he doesn't know you have pain somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It just means he's going to focus on that. He's going to heal that. And then you're going to say, oh, wait a minute. If he's touching her hand, mm-hmm. he can touch my back, my Amen. Foot, my neck.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good. It's true. And just because it doesn't happen right at this instant doesn't mean God can't heal it later. Because there's been many times that I've prayed for people and people have like left services and things like that. We've heard many reports of that. They got home, they went to sleep, the next day they were instantly healed. They could do things they couldn't do before. Or later on that day, they were just sitting down watching TV. Hey, it doesn't hurt anymore. You know, so God can move however he wants to, but it's up to you to receive the gift that he has for you. Amen? Amen. So that's good. What? He is the healer. That's right, Jack. That's right. He is that. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. So today I want to talk about a scripture, and it kind of stays in line with our theme. You know, our theme, my theme right now is transformation. I've been kind of going on this for the last, since December, so it's been kind of an ongoing thing of transformation, but also it includes with our vision and our mission, I should say, you know, which our mission is right here on this card. Today it's going to be more about relationships. You are important, valued, and loved is what I'm going to be kind of hinting on today with the transformation overview of what I've been talking about in the last probably four sermons. So if you can, turn to your Bible, get in your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or you brought a big one like I did. I mean, whatever it is, whatever Bible you brought, get it out and turn to Judges 2. I'm going to turn to Judges 2. And the Lord took me there, and it's a very obscure place the Lord took me. I was like, Lord, where am I going with this? But isn't he good? Isn't he good? Even though we don't feel like we know where things are going in life, he knows exactly what's going to happen. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting? It is. I truly believe that. It truly is. Thank you, Lord. So Judges 2, and we're going to go to verse 8. Verse 8. Who made it there first? Who made it there first? Standoff between Mike and Mike. Oh, goodness. Oh. All right. Judges 2. Judges 2. Amen. Amen. Judges 2. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read. Judges 2, 8. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. How many of you want to live to 110? 120, somebody says. Some of you are like, no, 90 is enough, and then I'm ready for glory. You know, I mean, you know, some of you are like, well, that's good. Some of you want to live 120. Mike, you want to live to 120. That's awesome. That's awesome. Amen. 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath Heresay in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. You're like, Van, why is that important? I was asking the Lord the same question. Do you know that? Wow. I was like, Lord, why did you lead me here? It's someone dying. It's someone, you know, I don't want to talk about death or anything like that. But, I mean, death is not a bad thing. I mean, the worst thing the world can do is kill you and then you go to glory. What's wrong with that? I mean, isn't that what we're striving for? To have relationship with him and then to spend all eternity with the one we love and adore in places without flesh or bones where we can be ourselves totally in the spirit that God created us in? That doesn't sound too bad. Let's put it like that. Let's just say that. But we are here for a season and we need to do things for his glory, for him, and for ourselves for this season. And what I mean by for ourselves is we need to make sure that we're on his path because there are things that God's put inside of us that are from him. And dreams and callings and visions and destinies that he wants to do in us that we will find great fulfillment in when we partner with him. We will find fulfillment in other things. There are a lot of things this world has to offer that are fun and that are enjoyable. Some things are not. But the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate fulfillment will be with you walking in step with his plan. There is nothing else that would give you greater fulfillment than that. And that I can promise you. And if you have a doubt of that, look to Hollywood. because you can see what people are doing to try to find fulfillment in their lives, try to leave a mark on society, and they end up dying brokenhearted, miserable, and realizing they didn't do anything with their lives. And it's sad. But how many of you know that we don't have to live like that? We can live partnered with Him. And when we live partnered with Him, we can enjoy this life. Not saying that all parts will be enjoyable. Not saying all parts won't be a trial or a tribulation or things like that. But we know that we have Him and we can go through any trial, tribulation. We can go through any season and know He is always there with us. And know that we're always making our light to shine no matter what's happening. Come on, people. No matter what's going on, we can give Him the glory because He deserves it all. And plus, we get to spend the rest of eternity with Him. Think of that for a moment. Eternity. It's a long time. A lot more than 120 or 110. Amen. That was free. I won't charge you for that one. So when I was looking at this, like, God, what do you want to say? And then He spoke to this part. He said, it says that, and they buried Him in the land of His inheritance. And I looked up the Timothy Hirsch, where it was that he was buried. And I looked at the maps. I looked at some, where it was and things like that. I was like, there was no like really like solid thing of what it was. You know, it wasn't like something concrete, like, wow, that was the place where Jerusalem was. Or, you know, I was looking for a place of like, where was the value in that place? And then it took me back to Joshua, I think it's 24, where Joshua asks for that spot. And the Lord gives it to him as an inheritance. Isn't that amazing that we can ask for something and God would give it to us? And that's where his descendants lived. A spot of land. It was a nice spot of land. And that was his inheritance because he followed the Lord. He wants to give everyone here an inheritance today. But the problem is, sometimes we got to go through a lot to get there. And that's where the problem lies. It's tough sometimes. Now, you're like thinking, oh, Joshua, he didn't have any problems. He was good. He was like, all right, let's go, battle Jericho. Woo! You know, you learn from your Sunday school songs and everything else. Like, yay, Joshua fought all of his battles and won, except for one. But it was really his fault. It was the person who was sinning in the camp, and that was it. You know, he won everything else. You know, we think of Joshua as that sometimes, but we forget where he came from. And you're like, what do you mean, Van? Well, he was there during Moses' reign. He was there with the spies. And he's like, let's go take the land. And because of fear and because of someone else's decision, he had to live 40 years in a desert. Come on, somebody. Because of someone's lack of faith, because someone's fear, he had to have a grueling 40 years in the desert and watched all of the military men at that time, except for Caleb, die in the wilderness. He had to watch his friends die, his family members die. He had to watch the people that he was serving die because they weren't able to make the decision to go into the promised land. He had to live with that. He had to live was seeing Moses always ridiculed, always put to the test, always the grumbling and complaining. He had to search all of that and watch the people that he loved and adored, that he grew up with, and watch them tear down their leader every time that something would come up. That's a lot. And how many of you know that, hey, if it would have been today's society, Joshua would have needed some serious counseling probably. He would have needed some serious counseling. Like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know, Aaron. I don't know about these people. They keep on doing what they want to do. And then they try to do something to Moses. And then God comes down, strikes some of them down. And then he does this and provides. And then they just keep on. He needs some serious counseling. Man, if that was us today, boy, we'd be in there twice, maybe three times a week. It's tough. He went through a lot. Went through a lot. And then after that, hey, we want you to lead now. Okay, the same people, not quite all the same, but the same people that were didn't want to go in the promised land before, now we got a whole new group. We're going to try to go this, try to do it again. Last time it didn't go so well. You remember, I was there. Most of y'all weren't, but I was there. But it wasn't all bad. How many of you know that Joshua was up there with Moses on the mount and got to encounter God like nothing else? And when you encounter God like nothing else, when you have that encounter with Him, it's like, yes, God. Yes, I'll serve You. I'll do whatever You want me to do. Because I'm Yours. I'm so Yours. And because He stayed and went through everything, He received His inheritance. And not only that He received His inheritance, He brought a whole generation to receive their inheritance. He brought the whole nation of Israel into a promised land. Come on now. Do you realize that you are bringing someone else into their inheritance today? Do you realize that because of your faith and because of your relationship with God, you are helping cultivate and bring others into their inheritance? And if you stop now, you're going to keep someone from receiving the full benefit of knowing Jesus Christ. That's heavy. It's heavy, isn't it? It's not a bad thing. It's not said to be to condemn you or like, oh, goodness, or this whole massive weight or this whole massive... No. It's something that we as Christians have the ability and the freedom to do. The world can tell us about all these wonderful things they have for us. Oh, we got the latest this. We got this and this and this. They can bring us to this, but they can't bring us to fulfillment. They can't bring us to a relationship with a holy Father, a loving Son that died for us and that wants to spend all of eternity with us and show us how much He loves us and wants to be with us. They can't show us that, but we can show others that. Come on, somebody. Because if we will not grow weary in well-doing, we will reap the harvest, the Word says. And sometimes it's tough. Some seasons are tough. I'm sure Joshua had his seasons. It wasn't all battles. It wasn't all glorious. It was 40 years. He could have said, nope, I'm done. I'm done with this group. I'm just done. They didn't want to listen to me the first time. How many of you know that some of y'all might have cocked an attitude with like Joshua? All right, y'all want to listen to me? Done. You're fine. Go on. Go ahead. Live in the wilderness. I don't care about you anymore. I don't want to lead you. You are not God's people any longer. So fine. Moses, you deal with it. I don't want you either. How many of you know that might be your response? Come on. Let's be honest. It's okay. It's Sunday morning and Jesus is here. If you're not being honest with me, Jesus knows your heart. I mean, come on. Some of us would have copped an attitude and said, nope, we're done. We're done with Israel. We're done with the 12 spies. We're done with Moses. We did whatever they were supposed to do. That's it. And we could have become bitter and all along the way and said, forget it. We're done. Isn't that what we are programmed to do? Get offended and be like, I'm done. Can't believe they would do that. I'm done. They didn't want to listen to me. Now we're going to spend 40 years out here in the desert. Not eating grapes and honey, you know, getting all the good stuff. And we got to sit here and eat wild quail and all this other stuff and manna. I mean, they had good food in there. I mean, geez. They weren't thinking with their stomachs, that's for certain. Gosh. But no, he did not go that, because we could have went down that road so easily, but he didn't go down that road. And because he didn't go down that road, he was able to bring the Israelites into a new inheritance with him enjoying his own. And it's so good when we see those things and are encouraged by those things, because we can get so caught up in ourselves and so caught up in our offenses, so caught up in the things that have happened to us, we forget that there are people looking to us to help them. We forget that there are people that need Jesus and that we are the only light they're going to see about Jesus, because we're the only one in their circle of influence that has Jesus in our hearts. Are you letting someone else or someone else's decision ruin your lifehood today? Are you going to let it? And this is where transformation happens. If we live by yesterday's problems, if we live by yesterday's disappointments, if we live by yesterday's failures, we'll never see tomorrow's miracles. We'll never see tomorrow's great expectations. We'll never see tomorrow's inheritance. We won't. We won't see any of it. Because we're letting those things that happened to us back then. Maybe it was 40 years ago. Maybe it was 30 years ago. Maybe it was last week. But we can't let those things rule our lives, because if we do, we are going to be forever handicapped to bring the full-fledged gospel to a hurting, dying world. We don't want to be handicapped, because God doesn't make handicapped people. He makes full people, fullness. And even though maybe your arms and legs, and maybe they don't work like they used to. I get it. Some people get old. Some things happen, you know. Maybe they don't work like they used to. But that doesn't matter, because your spirit is what is the key. It's your heart. I remember a lady in my old church in Wellspring. Her name was Linda. She had polio. And she could walk somewhat, but she always had a lot of trouble walking. And I remember her, and she went on this missions trip one time. And I'm a little younger at the time, I'm before a teenager, and I'm like, why would you want to go on a missions trip? I mean, you can barely get around. This is my way of thinking. I'm like, you barely can get around. Why would you even do that? And she would go to China and smuggle Bibles in. And that's what she'd do. Because at the time, the Chinese wouldn't allow any propaganda in there. If you're caught with a Bible, you were either put in prison at the time, or you were discharged from the country. So it was a big thing to do back in the 90s. How to spread the word of God for these churches that needed the Bibles, that needed God's word, because they didn't have anything like that. And the internet wasn't really prevalent at the time either. So, I mean, it's a lot going on. And I was like, why would you do that? Why would you, you know, you barely could get around. But she would go faithfully and do those things. And it wasn't until later on that I realized what she was really doing. She was saying, God, I have some limits right now. My physical body has some limits. But my physical limits don't overcome what you want to do for someone else spiritually. What you want to do for someone else out there. Come on, somebody. The resolve she had, and she was never healed. She was prayed for many times. She was never healed. The Lord never healed her. I don't know why. But she was such a testimony that what she did, day in and day out, she served. And how many know, great was her inheritance. Great was her reward for serving. Even though her physical body wasn't in great shape, but how many know, nothing can quell your spirit. Because it's Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. Nothing can quell that. Come on, somebody. We have value. The Lord gives us value. And when we don't value who we are in Christ, then that's when we become self-centered. That's when we forget about the inheritance. That's when We no longer become Joshua's. We become Esau's. Come on. We'll just sell out our birthright for some food. Come on. That doesn't hit you. Selling out your blessing, selling out your birthright just for some food because you were hungry. I don't want to sell out my birthright. I don't want to sell out what God has for me and what He wants to bring me into. I want to live for Him because there's value. And if you don't believe, if you're having a hard time with that value principle, and I've been talking about it for the last few times I've been up here, if you have problems with value, let me give you a demonstration, all right? Let me give you a demonstration. So I'm going to go on my wallet here. I've got $100. Andrew, come up here. He's like, oh, I see money. I'm a teenager. I like money. I'm a grown-up, and I like money too. Don't you worry. You see this $100, okay? It's $100. It's not fake, correct? It's real. You hope so. And Becky's back there if we need to confirm it. She knows those things too. It's real, okay? All right? So if I put it in a half like that, would you still want it? Okay. All right. So you still want it. Still value. What if I fold it twice? And increase that really, really firm. What about now? Would you still want that now? You still want that? Are you sure? I mean, I've got two folds in it. It's not pretty anymore. All right. What about if I throw it on the ground? You still want it? You sure? I mean, it's been on the ground. Who knows what's been on that ground? I mean, there are all types of germs and stuff like that. There are all types of, you know... I mean, this place was an auction house before. We never know what type of things would have been on this house before this church. You sure you want it? What if I do this? Oh, now I've done it. I stomped on the $100 bill. It's underneath my foot. Now, there could be things underneath my shoe that I have no idea where they've been because I've got four kids in a house. I mean, there could be ring pop fingers on this on my shoe that just stood there. Would you still want it? Are you sure? What if I keep going like this? What if I keep on stomping it and smash it up really good? You still want it? All right. Now you've done it. What if I crumple it up like this? You still want it? Are you sure? Okay. And why is it that you still want this, Andrew?
Because it still holds the same value.
It still holds value. Do you know that this is our lives? This is our lives. And God still sees value in us. No matter how much we've been broken, how much we've been stomped on, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what people have done to us in the past, there is still value that God sees. And He says, yes, I still sent my son to die 2,000 years ago for you. And yes, I still find value in you no matter what has happened to you. I still find it. Even though this $100 bill is torn. Well, it's not really torn at the moment. It's crumpled up. Looks a little rough. It still has value. And that's what God has for you. You can have that. Yeah? No? The Lord told me to give it to you. Everybody's going to be like, hey, I want one too, man. I want one too. Hey. Hey, yeah. I'm like, hey, let's go. I like it when Pastor Van preaches. He's getting $100 bills. We might get the whole internet over here now. Who knows? I'm next. He's like, I'm next. I'll do it. Yeah. I'll help with the examples again. Poor Pastor Kurt, I had him drink some water last time he was up here. That's all he got. His son got a $100 bill, but all he got is drink was water. His holy water. Oh, 200. Wow. That's tough, man. He's a going rate. Whew. Ooh, he must be in finance or something like that. You still have value.
So, but the reason why I give that to you is because to sow seed into your life, Andrew. There is seed that I've been sowing in you, and I want to sow it with financial as well. Because I believe that God has great things in store for you. So never forget that. Never forget that. And I don't mind sowing into someone I know that God's got stuff involved with. Because you have value. You have value. We all have value. We all can inherit the inheritance God has for us. But sometimes we've let things happen in our lives, and maybe it wasn't us that allowed it to happen. Maybe it was something from the outside. Maybe it was something that just genetics or something else that happened that we feel like I can't do anything anymore. No, you still have value. God wants to transform you. God wants to use you where you are. He wants to heal today. And it's been very evident of that already. But one thing that he said he wanted to heal today is some scars. Some of us in this room, and I dare say probably 75% of us, have been hurt from someone 10, 15, 20, 30, even 40 years ago, maybe even longer. And some of us are still, maybe maybe that wound is not so open anymore. Maybe it's covered over, and maybe it's now a scar. I want you to know that time does heal wounds. It's true. Time does heal the wounds. But only Jesus can take away the scars. Only He can do that. So what I want to do today, as I'm closing out, is I want to have us be real. Can we be real for a moment? And with being real, I want you to have some time with God. Because you can say whatever you want to me. It's okay. I mean, I don't mind if you lie to my face. It's all right. I still love you, you know? If you don't want to be real with me, that's okay. It's all right. I'm not worried. I'm not offended by that. But I want you to have some time with Jesus just for the next few moments and be real with Him and let Him be real with you and really go after those scars today. Because He brought it up. Because if you continue to have that scar, you're not going to be able to go and do what you need to do to have the inheritance God has for you, to fulfill that. And when you don't see yourself in the light that God sees you in, then you don't see the value He sees you in as well. So let's all close our eyes for a moment. If you want to bow your head, that's fine. You don't have to, but I want this time to be with you and God only. Only you and God. And I want you to ask Him right now, and He's going to reply. Expect that He's going to reply right now. I want you to ask God, God, what are the scars I still have? Now, those scars could be healings, could be something that happened in an operation. That could be something emotional. It could be something financial even, He told me. But something that happened to you that left a scar on you. I want you to ask Him what it is. And He's going to bring something to your mind right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now what I want you to do with what He's given you, still with eyes closed, this is your time with Him. I want you to give that to Him right now. And say, Father, I've been carrying this for too long. I'm giving you this scar so that I can in turn receive the inheritance you have for me and the value that you see me in. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Jesus. Release it to him. And receive the value. Receive what he has for you. Receive the inheritance that he wants for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. Amen and amen. Scars were given to him today because he loves you and values. He wants to take those scars that were given to you those many years ago, and he wants to take them and get rid of them and give you in place value. Because he doesn't send his son 2,000 years ago to die on a gruesome cross, to die one of the most horrific deaths in human history for something of no value. He wants to transform you and show how great he is. No matter what your season, no matter what your present day today is, he wants to do awesome things in you. And it's time for you to start believing it. It's time for you to get out of that stuff, to get out of those scars, to stop letting those other things affect you, and be the man and woman, to be the son and daughter of God he's called you to be. Because that's who you are. That's how he sees you. He doesn't see you as a broken, withered up, torn $100 bill. All he sees is the value. And that's transformation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Oh, man. Oh, it's so overwhelming how awesome you see us. And not because of something that we did, but because of your blood is the only way you see us pure and clean. Not because of how righteously we lived or how what we did or how many attendances we had in Sunday school. We can come to your throne by grace and by faith, knowing that your son died 2,000 years ago and your blood covers us all from all sin. All sin. Sin that we've done, sin that we might be doing, and sin that we will do in the future. It covers all sin that you may be able to see us pure and white. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. That we don't have to live in sin anymore, that we can live in the fulfillment of relationship with you and go forth and enjoy this life and enjoy your presence and enjoy bringing others into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. You are so awesome. Lord, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I do the same today afresh and anew. As for me and my house, Father, we will serve the Lord. We serve you, O God. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you for the healings. We thank you for the ones that are going to happen after we leave here. And not just the ones on our bodies, but the ones we're going to pray for others and see healings. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dr. Steve?
So leaders, just a quick reminder, we're meeting this Wednesday night. We have some exciting things to share with you. So please plan on being out.
One more thing. Encounter nights.
This Thursday, 7 o'clock, be there if you can. It's great. We're actually having Pastor Ben Jones coming and lead worship live for us. So it's going to be a great night. Expect God to do great things. Be blessed. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Go, my favorite sports team, whoever you want to win. Hopefully it's a good game. I plan on eating a lot. So, you know, I'm going to be a winner regardless. So you guys have a blessed day. Take care.